Good morning, Union Center. To our friends who speak Spanish, hola, buenos días. Todos ustedes son bienvenidos aquí. Gloria a Dios. Welcome to week one of Advent. The passage that Hillary just read for us is actually the passage that we are going to be looking at today as our passage for Advent. And as you've already heard, you can hear that our theme this week. It took a while to get there. I think turkey is still landing on us. I think we're all a little tired today. Our theme of Advent is hope. The next 3 weeks after hope are peace, joy, and love, and we look at these every single year because of how timeless these are, how timeless they are. We could look at each one of these themes every single year and say, who doesn't need more hope in 2025? Who doesn't need more hope in 2026? Or who doesn't need more hope in 2027? Or we could then look at the other themes, peace, joy, love. We always need more of those things. So for this week, hope. And I would suggest to you that Advent hope is not the type of hope that just hopes we have good weather tomorrow. It's not the type of hope that says, oh, I hope for a white Christmas. No, I think Advent hope is actually a deep-rooted longing. I believe Advent hope is a little bit more like Buffalo Bills hope. Those fans of the Buffalo Bills, your hope is rooted in deep longing to get to and win a Super Bowl. And I think Advent hope is a lot more like Buffalo Bills fans. Theologian Emily Hunter McGowan, she gives us a helpful distinction regarding hope. She says, hope is not to be confused with privilege, pettiness, or denial of just how broken things really are. That's why I say Buffalo Bill style hope, because you know just how deeply broken the Buffalo Bills have been. How terrible it has been longing for that one kick to have not gone wide right, but to go into the center of that. Most of our Bills fans are out today. They knew somehow that this was coming. Yes, but it's a hope that's rooted in deep longing. But it's a hope that doesn't deny how broken the world really is around us. Advent hope moves into the dark with honesty. It's why Fleming Rutledge can say, Advent begins in the dark. Today's psalm is a psalm of hope because as I listen to the psalmist, I listen to someone honestly longing for God to hear him. Listen to what he says again in verse 1. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth, I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Do you hear the longing in this passage? Do you hear the desperation in his language? In fact, he goes on to describe that he's so desperate for God to hear him that he is exhausted. His heart has grown faint. Are you faint today? Are you tired today? Are you exhausted? It's day one of Advent, only day one, and you're already weary. You've got a whole Christmas season ahead of you with all the things, with parties, with all sorts of events, with lists of shopping that you have to do, and you're already tired. Where in your life do you need the hope of light to break through? Where in your life is it so dark that you cannot handle it? The psalmist continues. The psalmist longs in verse 4. He says, I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. For you, God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Increase the days of the king's life, his years for many generations. May he be enthroned in God's presence forever. Appoint your love and faithfulness to protect him. I love this because the psalmist peels back his longing. He shows us the layers of his heart a little bit more. He shows us what he is longing for, and he's longing for really good things. He's longing for beautiful things. He's longing for the safety of God himself. He's longing even for success. He's longing for God. And yet, he isn't experiencing them yet. He's longing for these things. He's asking for these things. He is waiting for these things. Now, you might say, as you hear this, but Nate, doesn't the text say that God has heard the psalmist? Doesn't the text say that God has given him the heritage that he is asking for? It does say that. But yet, I'd invite you to look at the verb tenses. We don't talk about verb tenses a whole ton right here. I don't talk about them a lot. I don't talk back about the Hebrew verb tenses and language a lot, but we can see it right in the English text. I'd invite you to look at the tenses of the verbs that the psalmist is sharing. Yes, God has heard the psalmist. God has given him his heritage. And yet, when we hear that, what are those? Those are all past reflections. Reflections on what God has done, things he has looked back upon. And look at the verb tenses of the psalm itself here. Look at the verb tenses of the crying out of his heart. What does verse 1 say? He says, I call to you. It says, my heart grows faint. It says, I long for these things. The psalmist is longing, is crying out currently, actively, in the present, even though God has given him those things of the past. God has given him the longings of his heart. He is still crying out. And I believe that's a beautiful picture of what Advent actually is for us today. Because Advent knows that God has already begun redemption. That he has already come to us. That he's already begun the good and beautiful work. And yet, our experiences in the world do what? They leave us longing for more. For more of God's beauty, for more of the beautiful things that we've been talking about all year long in our year-long series. People actually say in Advent that there are three arrivals of Jesus. There's the past arrival, where he arrives in a manger. This is what we celebrate during the season of Christmas, which begins on December 25th and lasts for, as the song says, 12 days. We are not in the season of Christmas yet. We are in the season of Advent. The season of Advent waits for God's arrival. Yes, the past arrival we look back on, but we also await his coming, his present arrival, where God comes to us each and every day through his Spirit. And we also, in Advent, wait in longing, looking forward to the day of his future arrival, when he makes all things beautiful, turns all things back to the beauty of the garden again. This is Advent, the three arrivals of Jesus. And this is where we see the psalmist. Yes, we are aware of how Jesus has started redemption. Yes, we see that he has already come, and yet we long for more. We long for Jesus to meet us right here and right now. We long for Jesus to meet us today. Which means, if we really think about it, Advent is a season of waiting. We wait during Advent. I love what pastor and author Rich Viotis, what he says. He says, Advent trains us in hopeful waiting. For today, the way we could tie it into our year-long series, we could say, in Advent, hope waits for beautiful things. And so I just want to ask you, where are you today? Where do you find yourself coming into this first day of Advent, into this Advent season? How do you find yourself coming out of Thanksgiving? How do you find yourself entering the Christmas season? How do you find yourself finishing 2025? What ways are your hearts longing? What ways are you looking for good and beautiful things in your life? Where do you notice your desires? Your longing. Where do you find yourself longing? How are you waiting? And I think what we can learn from this psalm is that however you find yourself waiting, however you are coming out of Thanksgiving, however you are finding yourself today, then I would invite you to notice that this Advent season is for you. Because Advent meets us right where we are. God invites us to come to him. However we enter into November 30th today, God invites us, if we are coming in with deep wounds, he invites us to notice that there is balm for our soul. He invites us to come to him if we are coming exhausted and numb, tired, weary. There is space for you in Advent. In fact, Advent gently reminds us that it's okay to still be waiting. It's okay to still be weary. It's okay to still be healing. And that God meets us right where we are, right there. And I think that's why we need the Advent season. It's why the Christian calendar actually starts with Advent. Because it reminds us that however we come into the new year, that he is there and inviting us to come and meet us right where we are. And I think it's wildly important for us to come into the Advent season and recognize that God may not fix our problems. He may not heal our body. He may not reconcile our relationships. But what Advent does show us is that in however we come to Advent, that God, right there, is waiting for us. He joins us in the waiting. And we can turn to him even when our heart grows faint. Which is exactly where the psalmist goes in the middle of the psalm. He said, from the ends of the earth I call to you. From the ends of the earth, no matter where he was at, from the ends of the earth, I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. If you are faint, if you are weary from waiting, you have good company. The psalmist says, I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. This is Advent hope. Advent hope doesn't say that you have to get it all together to turn to God. Advent hope doesn't just meet us where we are, though. Advent hope meets us just as we are. That's the experience that the psalmist found. And I think it's such good news for us because when I look at this verse, I hear the psalmist asking to be led to the rock that is higher than I. I think this is great news to hear that God moves toward us just as we are, because as he says this thing about this rock and being led to the rock, I don't know about you, but when you're exhausted and weary, when you're worn out, when you're tired, the last thing I want to do is climb a mountain. The last thing I want to do is go up a mountain, to go up a rock that is higher than I. Sure, it sounds beautiful. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. But that's why I go skiing, because I want to ride the chairlift up the mountain and then slide down the mountain. When you're tired and exhausted, you hear this and think, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That sounds beautiful, but I just don't have it in me. I can't climb another mountain. Every day feels like a mountain. Just getting out of bed might feel like a mountain. Getting through your workday without snapping at your coworkers. Getting to the end of your day where you've just been pulled in every direction from your children, with to-do lists from here and there. To think about climbing up a mountain that is higher than I, this rock that is higher than I. What do we do if we don't have it in us to climb? This is where Advent brings us good news. Because where the psalmist says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, what we see is that we don't have to climb. We don't have to scale the cliff to get to this rock that is higher than I. Actually, no, the mountain moves down toward us. It's why the Apostle John can say the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The good news of Advent is if you are weary, if you are faint, if you are tired, if you are longing for the world to be made right, if you are longing for good and beautiful things, rather than just strengthening yourself to go climb up to the rock, to move toward God himself, the rock himself moves toward you. This is the beauty of Advent. The unshakable one steps into our shaking world. The hope of Advent is that God moves toward you. The hope of Advent is that God moves toward you. And what we find is that God listens to the cries of his people. What we find is that God doesn't say, pony up and just get happier. God doesn't say, just try harder. Just be better. No, he put on flesh and moved right to you. He put on flesh and dwelled among you. It's literally what the name Emmanuel means. Matthew says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. Right where we are, just as we are. And so I'd invite you, as you step into this Christmas season with all the joy, with all the noise, with all of the pain, with all of the memories, with all of the chaos, I'd invite you to remember that God is with us. And that means in everywhere you go, this is why we are offering these cards this year rather than just the typical Advent devotional. Because we'd invite you to try to remember that even when you're standing in line at Target or when you're stuck in traffic on the parkway, that God is with you. When you sit at the table that feels emptier than it used to, God is with you. When you're overwhelmed by family expectations or financial pressures, God is with you. Or maybe for you, when you can't seem to feel anything at all, God is with you. Emmanuel is not just a Christmas word that we sing about, but it's actually a promise of hope. Which means you are never left alone in your longing. You are never alone. And sometimes holding on to that truth, even quietly, stubbornly, Andrea said something about stubbornly holding on to something. Quietly, stubbornly, beautifully holding on to the fact that we are not alone is exactly what hope looks like. Which is why for Advent, we aren't putting a typical devotional together. We'd invite you into what we are calling breath prayers throughout the entire time up till Christmas Eve. They're short, they're memorable, and every day they're a little bit different. And so we'd invite you to pick up one of these, as Tom mentioned, with the cards. Yes, they will be on Instagram as well, because sometimes if you're on social media, you need a reminder to just stop and slow down and pray. For our families, we have an Advent calendar that has each and every one of these breath prayers in them. But as we were talking as a staff, what do we need in the Christmas season, in the Advent season of 2025, what we felt like was that what we really need is to slow down and remember that God is with us. We're all way too busy, way too filled. Our calendars are packed. And you talk to someone, how are you doing? And they would just look at you and probably say, what word? Tired. I'm tired. And so we just want to offer daily moments to remind you that God is present with you. If you don't know what a breath prayer is, let's give a quick example. All right, now we're going to go into like practice time right here. If you could put that up there on the screen. A breath prayer is when you breathe in, you say a word or a phrase, you hold it, and then you breathe out and say a different word or a phrase. Every single day, they are different. Next week, every single day, they will be the same. Each week will be slightly different, but I would invite you, this is just an example, one from this week, as you hear it in the passage. You breathe in, saying, lead me. And then breathe out to the rock. Lead me to the rock. And we hope that for that day, this is, I believe, Wednesday's breath prayer, that you're able to do that multiple times throughout the day. Easy to remember. You don't have to take anything with you. But we hope it starts to remind you, to ground you in the reality that God is with you, that God is present, whether you're in traffic on the parkway, whether you're at the Christmas party that's overwhelming, whether you're at the school event that's just chaos everywhere. Anywhere you are, you can quietly go, lead me to the rock. And it is our prayer that deep within, something slow starts to happen inside of each of us. That heart that might feel faint, that might feel tired, begins to find its voice again. Just like what happens to the psalmist in Psalm 61. In verse 1, did you notice he cried out? Hear my cry, O God. My heart grows faint. And yet, by the end of the psalm, something has shifted. Look at verse 8. He says, then I will sing in praise of your name and fulfill my vows day after day. What changed here? What changed from verse 1 to verse 8? It wasn't his circumstances. His circumstances didn't change. Your circumstances this Advent season might not change. But yet what changed was his awareness of God with him. Even when his world felt heavy, he could sing. Which is honestly what makes us as Christians so weird. Some might even call us crazy. I would like to say what makes us beautiful. Because we sing not because everything is fixed, but because God is not far. We sing joy to the world every Christmas, even though the world is filled with pain. Because God is with us. We sing that hope is alive even on our darkest of nights because the light, even though it might feel faint, shines in the darkness. We sing because of Emmanuel, because God is with us. We sing because Jesus is hope. Let's pray. Jesus, so many of us come into this room today. We feel heavy, we feel burdened. Or even if we come in feeling joy, we look at the world around us and we just see aches and pains. And so we long for more of your presence. Please, Jesus, meet us right where we are, just as we are. We ask that you would help us to sing because we can see even faint light in the darkness. Thank you that the way you lead us to the rock that is higher than us is actually to move down toward us. We love you, Jesus, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.